Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. It's 29th day, it's Friday, 29th day of August, year of our Lord, 2014, and here's the daily market report. Gold is down $1.60 an ounce to $1,288.60. Silver's off 2 cents. To $19.56. Platinum is flat, $14.29, same as it was yesterday. Palladium is up 7 to $907 an ounce. Go into the equities. Dow Jones is up 6 points to 17,085. NASDAQ is up 17 points to 4,575. New York Stock Exchange is up 29 points to 11,038. U.S. Dollar Index is up 0.22. Hard to keep that dollar down. Up 0.22 to 82.70. Last but not least, crude oil. Another good day for crude oil. It's up $1.32 a barrel to $95.87 per 55-gallon barrel. Hello, Frank. How are you doing? This is Frank Stefan, my co-host.
Good, Al. You?
Oh, I can't complain. It's Friday. I'm going to finish this up. We'll start a three-day weekend.
Oh, really?
But you're not going to have a three-day weekend? How long is your weekend going to be?
2 days, just like always. Holidays don't seem to... Although, you know, if nobody else shows up, it is a lot easier.
Yeah, that's one of the things about... Work is so much harder when you have other people show up on the job. Yeah. Customers and helpers and the rest of that sort of thing. It just complicates things. They should pass a law. I bet Obama's working on it. No people can. You can't. If you show up at any job, you're gonna. If you're not the first one in the door, it's against the law.
Well, they're just there to see that you're working. You know, they're not actually doing anything. They're just there to make sure you're working. If they're not there, then hey, you know, you don't have to work.
Yeah, that might be true. Let's see, what do we have to talk about today? What's new in the news? Here's something. This is interesting to me. Obama named in racketeering lawsuit. Have you seen that?
No.
Attorney Larry Klayman, fresh off a preliminary court ruling that the National Security Agency's spying on Americans is likely to be unconstitutional.
Oh, no.
Klayman has now named President Obama and others in a racketeering complaint. Klayman, founder of Freedom Watch, a columnist for WorldNet Daily, alleges that the president and others laundered U.S. taxpayer money that was spent on Hamas rockets fired against Israel. Civil lawsuit filed in federal court in Washington falls under the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization Act, or RICO, and it alleges criminal acts by Obama, Secretary of State John Kerry, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and UN Secretary General, which is officially designated by the U.S. government as a foreign terrorist organization. Well, there's more to the report, but it is fascinating that anybody's managing to sue Obama, and this isn't the only suit, but it's pretty interesting. Do you recall any previous instances when a sitting American president was sued?
Well,
named as a defendant in a lawsuit? I don't mean sued successfully.
That's what I mean. I remember, and I could be wrong. I may be remembering this wrong, but it's my recollection that the courts have ruled that a sitting president cannot be sued, that you have to wait until he's out of office before you can sue him. The Constitution's real clear. If you're not happy with the president, what you've got to do, you impeach him. There's no provision that you can sue him. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the office of president or the president himself, certainly, but, you know, he does have the office, at least, has to carry some sort of semblance of sovereignty. And you cannot sue the sovereign.
Well, unless he gives you permission.
Right.
They can consent. Bring it on. It's like you can't shoot the sovereign unless he consents to being shot. Well, he's not likely to consent to be shot.
No.
Not likely to consent to be sued. I've been under the same impression, but this report applies to an attorney named Larry Klayman. And he's already got a preliminary ruling from the National Security Agency, or against the National Security Agency. So he's got to be aware of whether or not we can sue Obama or not. And he says we can. And the judge apparently is going along with that. I'm not sure if Obama was named at all in the initial suit for the National Security Agency. But based on that preliminary ruling that it's probably unconstitutional, spying on the American people, maybe you started a brand new suit against Obama, and you would think he knows what he's doing.
I don't know. we thought all these people that brought the suit against his eligibility knew what they were doing too, and they got so far, and we all spun our wheels long enough until the court said, you don't have standing, get out.
Yeah, but here's another point. You know, a lot of people complain that the Jews have too much influence in this country, in the government of this country and whatever. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not arguing one way or the other. But it is true that in the case of this lawsuit, it involves the security of Israel. The claimant is claiming that Obama and the people he's associated with have been laundering money that was supposedly intended for humanitarian purposes, but it's been given to Hamas, which is a recognized terrorist organization, and Hamas isn't using the money for humanitarian purposes. They're using it to buy more rockets and whatever to attack Israel. So does it make a difference?
I don't know. This sounds like
they're not suing Obama per se. They're suing someone who has adversely affected Israel. Does that count in the courts?
I don't know. I don't know how that could count in the American courts, maybe the Israeli courts. Yeah. I don't get how this works. But, you know, everything they said here sounds like a criminal operation. I mean, if you're funding a terrorist organization, if I start giving money and arms to Hamas, I don't think I'm going to be sued. I think I'm going to be arrested. I think I'm going to be thrown in jail.
Here's the problem. Well, not the problem per se. It's true that you're not going to be able to file criminal charges. Larry Klayman's not going to be able to file criminal charges per se against Obama. But RICO is a civil process for criminal offenses. All right? RICO is a, it's not a criminal, even though it alleges crimes. And it's based on crimes, still it's a civil process. So how this is going to work out, we'll watch and we'll see, but it's certainly interesting. You know, if you've seen any pictures, have you seen any pictures recently of Obama?
Yeah, he's looking kind of old, isn't he?
Gray hair.
Looking like he should get a guitar and start singing the blues, I'd say.
I understand. You know, the presidency, this will only add to the aging process. I don't think I've ever seen any man elected president who didn't age at an accelerated rate once he got into that office. Certainly not recent ones. I mean, it puts a hurt on you. You got to be a little bit crazy to want to be president. Because yeah, they're going to run you hard and put you up wet. And I don't know how much sleep you can get for 8 years. How much sleep do you suppose Obama gets?
Oh, man, probably not much. I mean, there's probably always somebody wanting something.
Well, there's a lot of basketball.
There's Michelle.
Does that keep him awake at night or does it put him to sleep? Hard to say.
Being married to Michelle would keep me up at night, that's for sure. I'd be like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Probably keep your parents up at night too.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that boy? Where did we go wrong?
Yeah, well, hey, that ship sailed a long time ago with my parents, but anyway. You know, yeah, it's happened to every one of them. And it seems to be, you know, they might be able to get through one term, but the second term seems to just really, like, drain the life out of them.
Yeah.
You know, and you would think the second term would be the easier one. You know, I'm king now. I can do what I want.
But you know, I think that's where they become desperate and they become concerned about their legacy. And they want to do something where everyone will remember them as one of the heroes.
Oh.
First term, they're just kind of getting, you know, they're making a little bit of traction and learning the ropes. Second term, they think they know what's going on and maybe they'll make something happen. And it turns out, I think Obama's been a lame duck since about 6 months into his second term.
Yeah.
Back when I was younger, they would declare a president was a lame duck when he had 6 months or perhaps even a year to go in his second term.
Yeah, usually it started happening at least, I'd say, in the last 10 years. You know, after these upcoming midterm elections, after that is when pretty much it starts, because usually what's been going on is that a president in his second term, by the time he gets to his second term, halfway through his second term, people are unhappy with him. And they want a Congress that isn't whatever party he is. And so you end up with a Congress that is the opposing party, and you are a lame duck, you know, because you're not going to get anything done.
Well, in Obama's case, he didn't get much done. He caused a lot of... He's blamed for a lot of trouble.
Well,
some of that trouble follows from being ineffective. Some of it follows from allegations he was involved in unconstitutional acts or at least unpatriotic acts. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who believe that Obama, really, he doesn't give a damn about this country. He is involved for other reasons and serves other masters.
Oh, I'm convinced of that myself. I mean, that may be...
I'm certainly inclined to believe it. I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but I'm inclined to believe it.
Yeah. So, by his actions, you know, and, you know, the Bible does tell us that you'll know them by their fruits. Well, if you look at what Obama's been doing,
yeah, I understand.
Then you got to say, well, I don't know. He doesn't seem like the George Washington type.
No.
You know, he doesn't seem, I mean, he's mentioned the words Thomas Jefferson, but that's about as close as he's gotten to acting like him.
Well, of course he'd know about that because he is a professor of, professor of constitutional law.
Yeah.
And you know where you get, you know, you can join that law school. Watch for their ads on the back of matchbooks.
Yeah.
And you get some free matches out at a saloon or whatever. Look on the back. Sometimes they have learn to draw.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can draw a picture of the horse or the guy with the mustache, if you can draw a picture, then they will accept you for the art school. If you can't draw, you can learn the Constitution.
That's right. There you go. And boy, has he ever.
Yeah. I've got an article here from, where is this? Business Insider. Headline is, Putin directly addressed rebels in Ukraine for the first time, and he used a frightening word to describe them. Ooh, a frightening word.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Words hurt, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday publicly addressed pro-Russian rebels fighting in the southeastern Ukraine for the first time, praising their major success inside Ukraine. The Kremlin released a late-night statement from Putin on its website in which he appealed to the militia of Novorossiya, or New Russia. This is apparently the dangerous new term.
Uh-oh.
They are... Putin is apparently... He's interested in reestablishing Russia in a way that it begins to resemble the former Soviet Union. Now, it's never going to get that far. I don't believe that. But they do have some designs on the Ukraine, and they're looking... You know, they're saying, you know, that used to be our property, not just eastern Ukraine, a lot more than is currently claimed or fought over by the rebels. Mm. And he has an inclination to say, yeah, wouldn't it be great?
Well, you know,
restore.
I honestly, in the Ukraine matter, I have to side with Russia's position on this, that eastern Ukraine is full of Russians that really don't want to be a part of the Ukraine.
Yep.
The Ukraine government was overthrown unconstitutionally by their own constitution, by U.S. CIA involvement. You know,
yep.
Everybody knows this, and they're not saying...
Not everybody, only the people who read.
Well, people over there seem to know it, you know, and the thing is, they're just saying, look, we want out. We don't want part of this. They're not saying, look, we're going to blow up your capital. We're going to take over. We're going to have a coup. We're going to get rid of you. They're just saying, we want out, and the Ukrainians won't let them go. And I side with the Russian position on this. I think if the Russian people in that area want to go, given the circumstances of what the United States interference has done to the Ukrainian government and the puppet government that is in there right now, I think they should be allowed to separate. I mean, you know, that's not an aggressive move to say, I want to leave.
Yeah, right. I agree. It's not where I want to attack. I just want to leave.
Right.
And given the difference in cultures and the history that goes on, and the Crimea, for example, people, Russia seized the Crimea. Crimea was part of Russia up until something like 50, 60 years ago, when under the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, what had been part of the Russian nation was given to the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right? This was an artificial thing. It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't a crazy thing that Russia would say, look, let's get the Crimea back. And there's a flip side. There's another side to this. The Ukraine has to be a little bit nuts to keep this fight going and say, no, we're not going to let you go. There is going to be guerrilla warfare. Even if the Ukraine can take control of this, there's going to be guerrilla warfare and attacks and bombings and pipelines are going to be blown up and nothing's going to be stable or reliable probably until they let eastern Ukraine rejoin Russia. So it doesn't make good sense for Ukraine to even try to continue with this problem.
What does it sound like? It sounds like a United States sort of policy.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of oil or something in the eastern Ukraine, and people don't want to. It has nothing to do with the people. It has a lot to do. I think that was James Corbett's observation when we talked to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with natural resources in the eastern Ukraine. People be damned, but those resources are what it's all about. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Frank Stefan. Frank is sitting in for Melody. Melody will be back next week. In fact, on Monday. Well, if she is, she'll be there by herself.
Okay.
Or maybe she'll be there with you, but I won't be there.
Well, because I'll be here. Maybe I'll be here by myself.
Well, it might be. Hard to say. We were talking about Russia and how the crisis with Ukraine and what's going to happen there and who's right and who's wrong, if it can be clearly identified. Here's another article that's interesting. This is from Reuters, and the headline is, "Don't Mess with Nuclear Russia."
Man, I've got that on my screen right here, too.
President Vladimir Putin said on Friday Russia's armed forces, backed by its nuclear arsenal, were ready to meet any aggression, declaring at a pro-Kremlin youth camp that foreign states should understand it's best not to mess with us. Now, that's interesting.
Well, you know, I think Putin is trying to make the point that, listen, we're not some third-rate Iraq that you can just roll around and tell us what to do.
Yeah.
We are a legitimate superpower. You think you're the only superpower, but you're not all that super. You know, you're a paper tiger, and Putin knows it. Every other country knows it. The only people that don't know it are the American people.
Oh, they know it, too, but the American people don't exactly understand it. I wouldn't argue that we are a paper tiger. I would say we are a balsa wood tiger.
Okay.
You see, that's got a little more rigidity, a little more strength than just paper tigers.
That could even be scary.
It's paper tigers go, a balsa wood tiger is, you know, powerful. But my point is, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first time anyone has hinted at the possibility of a nuclear exchange. And when I say anyone, I mean Obama and or Putin. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about it, people talk about it in the news, but here's Putin saying, backed by its nuclear arsenal, better not mess with us.
Just reminding you,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in case you forgot, you know, we're not Iran that you got to worry about maybe someday we'll get a nuke. We got lots of nukes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know. And there's probably even still work.
That's probably right, too.
Who knows? You know, we don't audit anything. We don't test anything. We just say, hey, take my word for it. We got all this, and it's really good stuff.
Well, you know, that's actually a pretty interesting argument. There are a lot of people who believe that the United States gold, the treasury of gold, has been largely dissipated. Government claims to have about 8,200 tons, but a lot of people believe that they have secretly sold off most of those tons of gold in order to suppress the price of gold on the world and domestic markets. Some people believe that we are about out of gold. We're down to the last little bit, and it may explain why when Germany said we want our gold back, and it was only a few hundred tons, the United States, well, it'll probably take us about 7 years to get it back. Pretty good evidence that the United States doesn't have Germany's gold.
Well, that's true. They don't. Right? I mean, they said that. I mean, when you say it's going to take 7 years, you are. What are you saying? You're saying I don't have it.
That's exactly right.
You know,
I guarantee there was no proviso in the original deposit slip that said if you guys deposit your gold over here at the Federal Reserve, well, and if you ever want it back, we'll give it to you within 7 years.
Yeah, it's a new federal law, a 7-year waiting period to purchase gold.
Uh-huh.
You know, like guns. It's very
dangerous like guns.
Stuff.
That's exactly
very
right. Yeah.
Stuff, so.
Yeah. We're going to have to put you on a waiting list in order to buy guns and gold.
And maybe even a background check to make sure that, you know, you actually should have this gold.
And this won't be the usual background check. This will be a background check that goes into your parents.
Yeah.
And your grandparents. And your great-great-grandparents. And your great-great-great, and so on. We're going to go back a long way.
Oh, we got 7 years.
To find
years.
Out if there's anybody back there who can't be trusted with a couple of gold coins.
Well, we got 7 years to do it, too. So that,
yeah,
that'll
exactly.
make it very extensive. And, oh, my gosh, look. We found a Nazi in the woodpile here from 70 years ago. I'm
Uh-oh.
Sorry, you can't have any gold. We
Uh-oh.
Know what Nazis do with gold. You know.
If he was a modern fascist, it'd be all right, though.
Yeah,
true?
That's different.
Yeah, but I understand that. But a Nazi, we're not going to go along with that.
Now, I've got something here that before we get off the Russian thing, because there's something by Peter Schiff. Who kind of, it's a financial thing, but it has to do with Russia. And I'll just read it because I think it's very concise here. Russians' incursion into the Ukraine could ultimately hurt the dollar, says Peter Schiff. The real deal is the Federal Reserve. That's what everybody cares about. Perversely, to the extent that we have a difficult international situation that may give the Fed the excuse it needs to postpone the taper and rate increases, that's what the stock market wants. That's the only thing driving this market. The Fed has kept its federal funds rate target at a record low of 0 to 0.25% since December of 2008. The biggest wild card could be the dollar, Schiff said. We're flexing a lot of muscle that we don't have. We're irritating a lot of people that we need to suck up to. We're creating extra incentive for people to move away from the dollar, he added. That could ultimately be the biggest problem for the stock market. A big drop in the dollar and an acceleration of inflation would put pressure on the Fed to raise rates, and if rates rise, stocks would fall.
Did he give any explanation as to what was causing people to move away from the dollar?
Well, no, we're creating extra incentive. I mean, he was talking about the flexing muscles that we don't have. And I think it goes back to the point of the paper of balsa wood tiger that everybody realizes the United States is. And when you see something like that and you're a big-time investor and you realize this, you got to be a little shaky going, man, you know what? You're playing with fire over there, man. You're over there, you know, pumping up, and you're about to get pounded down because, you know, everybody knows you're just full of hot air.
That's not entirely true, but we are moving in that direction. This is still a formidable country. Sure. We still have the biggest economy in the world, but there's a lot of trouble here.
Well, and
militarily. And it's going to get worse unless somebody starts doing things that are good for this country rather than what are good for the New World Order or globalism or global free trade. Somebody's going to have to stand up and do what's right to the American, the United States of America.
You know, we look at, and this is financial survival. Of course, we focus on, you know, the financial problems, but, you know, the United States is looked at as the biggest economy on the planet, and
yep.
we have terrible problems. I mean, our unemployment rate and our inflation rate, what we're being told.
And our national debt.
Lies, and the debt is collapsing.
Part of the reason we are such an enormous economy is because we have gone into enormous mm-hmm. debt.
Right. And they count that as an asset. So, you know, there you go.
You know, there's a point here where, what happens if we can't continue to go into debt? And that is happening right now. It's part of the reason why the Federal Reserve has to buy most of the treasuries being sold by the United States government.
Absolutely.
Nobody else will buy them.
Right.
And right? Means they can't borrow money, and they've wiped out the middle class, which is the real engine of productivity that makes this country prosperous.
And they've done
Where
that
are
through,
they going to get their revenue?
They've done that through horrible trade agreements and illegal immigration. And
I
legal
agree.
Immigration, to an extent. You know? And so we've got serious problems economically. But then we look and go, well, at least we've got our military, so it doesn't really matter. We can go pound on anybody we want anytime we want to get whatever we want. But you see, we also have a collapsing military that people are not, you know, really that aware of. More people are aware of the economic problems than they are the military problems. We have some serious problems. We've got a new fighter that doesn't work. We have an aging Air Force, okay? Those F-15s and F-16s aren't going to fly forever. We are on the verge of losing air superiority.
Yeah.
If that ever happens, we're no longer the biggest, baddest boy on the block. That's the only.
Well, we don't see that in the near future, do we?
Pretty
much. I mean, I can understand where, for example, China might come up with some sort of some unusual innovations, and China might gain air superiority where they could absolutely count on it at China. But what's that got to do with Europe, for example, or Africa, or South America?
Well, Russia hasn't stopped building the new generation MiG. Okay, they've got.
No, my point is, though, but can they deploy it to foreign countries, or is it pretty much just largely confined to their immediate region?
Well, Europe is Russia's immediate region. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, they can flex their power to at least as far as Europe.
Oh, absolutely. They have missiles.
You know,
I mean, they can reach the United States. They can certainly reach Europe.
Yeah, but I mean, in a conventional just air campaign. You know, ground forces supported by an air campaign, they could go into Europe. They can reach that far.
Would they want to?
I don't think they want to.
I think everybody should learn from the United States example in Afghanistan and in Iraq and in Vietnam. I mean, what is the point to invading foreign countries? It almost inevitably blows up in your face.
And, you know, I do think that warfare has evolved more towards the financial warfare,
yeah.
you know, economic warfare. And we are in an economic war. And
I'll give you that.
We have traitors in our government that are losing the economic war purposely.
Intentionally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this is when you look at the government. Think of all the wonderful things government has done for the American people out of, let's say, the last 10 years. Now, I know if you're on welfare or you're being subsidized, you're rich and you're being subsidized, or you're poor and you're getting welfare, you can say, well, this is a great country. You know, this is really doing a good thing. But for the majority of people who actually work for a living in this country, when was the last time government did anything to you where you sat back and said, oh, is this great? There may be some examples, but yeah. they are hard for me to imagine right now. What has government done except lead us into the valley of the shadow of economic death, at least.
Yeah. Well, personally, I can't ever think of anything that I could sit back and say, oh, boy.
I saw, this goes back at least 5 years ago, might have been eight, I don't recall clearly. Someone had a contest in the government for the best innovation, best benefit, something along those lines. I don't remember if it was innovation or government. And they had a contest with, I don't know, $1,000 prize or $5,000 prize. It wasn't enormous, but it was something. They only had one entry. There was only one person in the whole country who could think of, well, this was a pretty good idea. Nobody else showed up. Yeah. You know,
everybody must have thought it was a joke or something.
I don't know what they thought. You know, I have no idea, but it's one of those, it's one of those leaves in the breeze. Even though it was 5 years ago, we should have said right there, said, "Oh,
yeah,
yeah, oh, this is going to get bad."
You know, one thing that I'm seeing is we are getting. That's what I just did my show about, is these conflicting, I mean, from yesterday to today, conflicting reports from the same, you know, the administration, the whoever. It's the same, the World Health Organization. One day they say this, the next day they say that, and you wonder why nobody can figure out what's going on, because they're completely different. Now, we're supposed to be producing. We're flooding in oil in America now. Oh, everything's going great, right? We got more oil than we've ever had. We're becoming a real producer, right?
Fracking continues to work without problem. That might be true, but go ahead.
Oil prices are going down. Everything's sweet, right? Except the lowest seasonal supply of jet fuel on record is pushing prices higher and leading to voluntary restrictions in the New York region as the nation's busiest air hub prepares for the holiday rush.
Yeah. What holiday rush are you talking about? Labor Day?
I guess so.
I was just wondering, are they already getting ready for Christmas?
No, Labor Day.
I mean, we see Christmas stuff down at Walmart already. I understand it's August, so it's or at least September, going to be September here next week. We can expect to see Christmas products up for sale.
Oh, yes. Yes. We skip right through Thanksgiving as though it never happens anymore, I've noticed, even at grocery stores.
They've done some studies on that. People are so bloated on turkey that they can't go out and spend any money.
So we have to just ignore that.
Yeah. It's not effective. It's not an effective commercial event.
Well, that's a fact. Now, here's the thing.
Unlike Christmas. Christmas is a very successful commercial event.
And Halloween has become very commercially successful.
Very commercial. It's one of our other major holidays.
That's
Halloween.
Why we skip. Yeah, that's why we skip from, worshiping Satan to worshiping a false,
a fiat currency.
Yeah, a pagan ritual at Christmas and ignoring Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's the Christian nation we live in. But
for now.
Yeah, for now.
There will be a correction on that. I mean, if things go the way they may go, a lot of people are going to start getting religion. There's that old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Right.
You know, if you're in the military and they're shooting at you, all of a sudden you get religion. Well, we just may see something in this country where it's going to be a lot like people shooting at you. A lot of us, you know, we can sit here and joke about it, but none of us are going to be free from it. None of us are guaranteed protected. But a lot of us are going to be in a lot of jeopardy, and a lot of us will probably find the good Lord in the midst of that jeopardy. Let's take another break for some more commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Frank Stephan, my co-host. We'll be right back.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I want to remind you that Discount Gold and Silver has a Labor Day Silver Special. You can get $20 face value, 90% silver, 20 circulated Morgan dollars, and one Silver Eagle, shipping included, $890. Again, that's $20 face value of 90% silver. That would translate, $20 would translate into 200 dimes or perhaps 80 quarters, and there'll be a mix of quarters and dimes. The 1 ounce Morgan dollars are also 90% silver. They are the most popular and collected coins ever produced by the United States Mint. 1 ounce Silver Eagle, modern, you know, created just in the last or minted just in the last year or two. 99.9% pure silver, shipping included, $890. All right, that's for today, as long as supplies last. And depending on what happens, I can't guarantee that the price will be the same. If you were to try to reach, I don't think you'll be able to catch anyone on Monday, but get in there now. It's a good deal, $890. $20 face value, 90% silver, 20 circulated Morgan dollars, one Silver Eagle, $890. 1-800-375-4188, Discount Gold and Silver. What else do we have here, Frank?
I just want to comment on that. That deal sounds like a great deal, and folks need to get their head around the idea that, you know, any wealth you're going to try to preserve, you better have your hands on it.
Not paper,
any kind of paper. I don't care if it's a gold certificate or what it is. If it isn't real and it isn't in your hands, I mean, you don't keep your guns at somebody else's house in another state to keep them safe, do you?
Or even another country.
Yeah, you know, you don't do that. Why would you want to do that with any form of wealth whatsoever? You know, if you can't put your hands on it, it's not yours. I can't encourage people. It's not going to get much better in cost.
No, I know.
You know?
You're looking at the lowest price you're going to see for our gold and silver, almost certainly for the balance of your lifetime.
I think so.
It is extraordinarily, it's highly improbable. You might see moments when it drops down. It might drop another, it might drop $100 for a little while. But long term, taken in terms of 5 years, 3 years, you're going to look back and say, phew. I should have. What should have, would have, could have.
Yeah.
You know, what was I thinking of? Didn't take advantage of it.
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to go back to this fuel thing just for a second.
Go ahead.
And the point of this is another example of complete manipulation. The surge in prices hit just before September 1st Labor Day holiday, when 14 million U.S. travelers are expected to take to the skies. Now, here is the oil market explanation. Demand is strong, and that's the bottom line. Did we expect it to be this strong? Did we expect prices to rise this high? Probably not. It lines up with, here's the punchline, the bigger picture of strength in the world economy.
Yeah, right.
That's why we have a shortage of oil, because of the strength in the world economy.
A shortage of jet fuel, I think,
jet
is what you're talking
about. Jet fuel, yeah.
Yeah, jet fuel. Now, we have a glut, almost a glut of crude oil, at least. We're becoming an exporter rather than an importer of crude oil. We have a good supply in this country, and nevertheless, we have a shortage of demand for jet fuel. Oh, excuse me, a shortage of supply because of increased demand. Where's that demand coming from? Everybody flying home to see mom? I mean, my understanding of the economy is that it's kind of turned down. We've been in a recession now for 6 years anyway.
Yeah.
And
I know a lot of people who used to fly if they had to, who now will not fly because of TSA and all the garbage that goes on with that.
That's another one. A lot of people don't care to fly. I don't care to fly.
I don't care to fly.
I'm going to tell you why. Get too old to fight with these people, you understand? And if I have to go through somebody groping me in the damn lines getting in and out of the airport, it's probably just better if I stay home.
Yeah.
You understand? I probably don't know. It's not going to be, you know, I may be able to keep my cool. I might not. I don't know.
Now,
why take a chance?
And now here is a number. They're going to have a shortage. That's why the price has to go up because of the holiday. And the increase in the 7 days around September 1st is 2%. They can't handle a 2% rise in people flying. And they didn't realize there was a holiday coming?
Well, you know why that is, though. Because we had an unusually severe winter last year.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And the cold weather, it just threw the whole system into havoc. We'll get it ironed out in another decade or so. It's really something. You can no longer blame Bush, but we will be able to blame an exceptionally cold winter. We'll be able to do that for a couple
of months.
Certainly until the next president comes.
I think the frost killed the jet fuel plants.
I think that's what happened.
Is that what happened?
That's what they do. They get the jet fuel from little coconuts that grow on the jet fuel plant.
And when it gets cold,
it's just like the oranges. They get a cold snap down in Florida, knock out the oranges, knocked out the jet fuel plant, same thing.
It's almost ridiculous.
It's not almost ridiculous. It's serious business because people get hurt.
That's true.
All right. Some people are getting enriched by this situation. Some people are being badly hurt by this situation and impoverished. It is almost ridiculous when you look at it, because it's virtually certain we're just dealing with a racket. This is exploitation. Now, we are looking, if the price of crude oil is going down, and it has been for the last month to 6 weeks, generally. If the price of crude is going down, the crude oil is one of the fundamental elements that you use to make jet fuel. If you're running a restaurant and the price of hamburger meat went down, it means that you can reduce the cost of your hamburgers, or if you can hold the price line, you stand to make more profit. Well, that's what I look at this, and it seems to me the people who use jet fuel, in theory, their costs, the people who produce jet fuel, Their costs are going down because the price of crude oil is going down. But they're not allowing that to interfere with their saying, oh, we have too much demand.
Yeah, I wonder
why. We have to keep prices up.
I wonder why I have to pay almost $4 a gallon for gasoline, too.
Well, it's, I guess, just in the natural order of things, Frank. Somehow that will help stimulate the economy. If it weren't for that, you might not be spending anything.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
You know,
it can
if we
help.
Could let people get away with only $1 a gallon gasoline, I'm not sure that they'd spend anything more. So it may be a form of stimulating the economy by forcing people to pay more for their gasoline.
Golly, I'm glad I could help.
Mm-hmm.
Not. You know, I've got this thing here, and I didn't realize this. I never even thought about this, but there's a new Gallup poll that says that, you know how it used to be a 40-hour work week?
Yep.
The average American full-time worker is working 47 hours a week now.
Mm-hmm. But not at the same job.
Well, they don't specify.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those little details that we don't want to talk about.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
But what it comes down to is the guy's got one job. His main job is 30 hours a week or thereabouts, and he's got another one part-time for 15, 17 hours a week. That's an implication. Because I very seriously doubt that they're paying the average American worker $7 overtime a week.
Yeah,
now, maybe that they're factoring in people working for salaries, you know, where they just work. They work 60 hours a week and get paid a flat salary no matter what happens. If they work 70, 80 hours a week, they still get their salary. Hard to say how it's calculated, but it's not a good thing.
Well, and they do say that a lot of people, a growing number, are clocking 60 hours or more. So, mm-hmm. You know,
well, consider yourself, Frank.
Well,
how many
hours
a week? How many hours a week do you work?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
But then again, you know, I mean, I
can't remember a week when I didn't work 60 hours.
You know, I'm self-employed, though, and I realize that, when you own your own thing, you're going to work more. And,
yep.
And you know, it's just the nature of what it is. And, you know, those extra hours I work are worth it to do my own thing, you know. But I think these people are talking about people that punch the time clock.
And they hate the job they have pretty much.
Yeah, or both of them.
Or the two jobs they have.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, if you've got to take two jobs to make ends meet, there's going to be some transportation from job number one when that folds up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you have to move to job number two, which starts at 5 o'clock and runs until 11. That transportation is going to cost you not only time, but also money.
Yep.
If you had one job that was making, and you were working 47 hours a week on average, well, your transportation costs are minimized. You got one trip to work and one trip home from work. So you have, but when we have two jobs, we have one trip to work, we have another trip from the first job to the second job, and then we have another trip from the second job back to wherever it is our homes are. So I guess it's at least increasing your transportation on average, maybe 50%, something
like
that.
Yeah, let's not. Hey, you know what about the environmental impact of that extra, all those people with those extra 50% of travel time?
I understand.
You know,
it's just more evidence that we have troubles headed our way that are significant. You know, we talked a little bit about Mr. Peter Schiff,
mm-hmm.
earlier in the program, you brought him up. And here's an article from Goldsworth Finance, Obama administration and IRS now able to track, spy, tax, and confiscate U.S. dollars across the world. And it involves FATCA, what's the acronym? Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act. Goes into effect meaningfully overseas. It's already in effect. But first reports are due from foreign banks on October 1st, and they're going to have to report, apparently, according to this article, all financial accounts, assets, bank accounts, securities accounts, annuity accounts, rental properties, insurance contracts, pension plans, trusts and private investments in companies and partnerships that are denominated in dollars around the world.
So what are they trying to do? Force everybody away from the dollar, or what?
That will be the net result. People are just going to say, "Screw this! This is more trouble than it's worth." You know, the dollar used to be supposedly it was once deemed good as gold. Now, I don't know. It's deemed good as a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's coming down to, and people are going to say, who needs it? And this is one of those questions you look at, they're anticipating that October 1st is when foreign governments, foreign banks, are simply going to say, look, we're not going to deal in any more U.S.-denominated funds. All right, savings accounts, whatever. We're just, you're out of here. If United States could take your money, take your currency, and go someplace else, we're not going to handle it. And the threat, all right? And the threat might be exaggerated, but the threat is starting October 1st. If people say, "Look, I'm done with dollars," well, then those dollars are going to start to flood back into this country, and we're going to see inflation, significant inflation. We're going to see the value of the dollar go down. We're going to see the value of other savings media like gold and silver go up. Nobody's saying this will absolutely happen on October 1st, or it will even be perceptible for some time after that. But nevertheless, the momentum may start to build after October 1st.
Those countries have to have some other kind of what currency do you think they may consider rather than the dollar? Because there's several.
Anything.
You know,
was up to me, if I had to choose between dealing with the IRS and dealing with dollar bills and something else, I'd be happy to deal with corn cobs.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll tell you got corn cobs. You can deposit corn cobs with us, but don't bring us any dollars because I don't want the IRS breathing down my neck.
Well, and you know, China has publicly stated that they are looking forward to the yuan being more internationally traded.
Sure. You know. And Russia has recently Gazprom. My understanding is just today, Gazprom has not only said, about a week ago, they said they'll take currencies other than dollars for Russian petroleum products. They have now said they won't take dollars.
Okay.
Not just we'll take other currencies, say, don't you even bring us any dollars because we're not going to sell you any oil.
Kind of saw that coming.
Maybe you should get a job as Secretary of State or Vice President or President or something, because nobody in Washington apparently saw this coming, or if they did, they're out to destroy
it. They don't understand what don't mess with us means, I guess.
I don't know what they understand, they don't understand, but we will explain it to them next Tuesday. And I'll be back with Melody. And Frank, I want to thank you for helping me throughout the 2 weeks while Melody's been on vacation.
You bet. It's been
Frank
fun.
Stevens, thanks very much. I'm Alfred Addis. Thank all of you for listening. Hope the good Lord blesses you, me, Frank, and Melody. Bye-bye.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's you.